I want to talk to you about something called feminine folly or the foolish woman. So in Proverbs chapter 9, we have the foolish woman that is talked about. We also talked about the strange woman. All right, I did a little short thing on that, and I preached a series on the strange woman. I'll probably move those along into that series or something. I don't know. Anyway, but now we're going to talk about the foolish woman in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Then I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 14. All right, Proverbs chapter 14. And the Bible says this in verse number 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The foolish woman, she plucketh it down with her hands. We're going to look at what the Bible says about a foolish woman and learn some things. Let's pray. Father, Lord, please help us as we go through these characters in Proverbs. Help us to grow in our own character as we look at some of the worst character traits and try to do the opposite for you, Lord, and follow the wise character traits you'd have us to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most important things in this Christian life is for us to know what God expects from us. It is important that you and I, that we know what God's requirements are, that we understand his word and we dig down deep into it and we learn from it. Sometimes these lessons can be difficult to accept. However, if you and I want to be Christians, and not just in name only, but in spirit and in truth, then we have to dig in deep to the word of God. We have to examine ourselves. We have to examine what God expects from us, and we have to have a desire to follow him and obey him. The Bible deals with the foolish woman, and Proverbs warns about that woman. There are a few ways to look at this warning. Number one, don't be a foolish woman. That's a good way to look at it. That's a good thing. Number two, and listen to this, mothers, don't raise a foolish woman. Don't raise a fool. Amen. And number three, don't marry a foolish woman. Amen. So as I you go through, there's that pretty much nails everyone in this assembly as far as to pay attention and to listen. So we can learn those traits so we can understand what God expects from us and avoid those traps. This kind of pointed preaching is not done today in teaching. It's not done today because it's not very popular. No one wants to be told that what they're doing is foolish or they're being a fool. We'd rather have a lullaby. We'd rather be rocked to sleep and make us all feel good about ourselves. But we never get right until we feel bad about ourselves. Isn't that true? We never get anything right until we actually start to feel bad and see our flaws through God's word. God's word is what shows us that. And this book of Proverbs is loaded with wisdom, loaded with guidance for our lives, for everything that we need. And it's important that we break those things down, that we study those things. These characters in Proverbs are important. Grasping them will save us a lot of heartache in life, a lot of heartache. For instance, you'll be careful to have the right friends, right, and confide in the right people by following the book of Proverbs. You might get yourself in trouble and follow the wrong people by not taking heed to the lessons that are there. Amen? These characters are important to understand. If we take hold of the warnings and the characteristics and the teachings, we can keep from these traps, from being these people or being trapped by these people, being taken by them. Our children, it's very important that our children understand these traits. It's important that we raise them right so they understand what to look for. Now, one of the problems, not a problem, but one of the outcomes of raising your children right is that they might catch you doing something wrong sometime. Now, they're to be respectful about it, but that's okay. Sometimes you do wrong. And sometimes God uses a simple admonition from a child to correct you. You know, that doesn't mean that your children have the prerogative to correct you. Just sometimes you're going to do something that is not consistent with what you've taught them. Have you ever done that? Has anybody ever done that before and your children were like, Dad, that's not right. Dad, you shouldn't do that. Anybody done that? Yeah, I have too. Not Ryan. I'm kidding. Ryan's the only guy in the room that has, and all you other ones have. I'm kidding, brother. But we have, haven't we? We've all done that. And praise God that our children know the truth and they can at least say that. We can teach them to have the right attitude, you know, in the right spirit. But we want to make sure they understand that you're right. That's right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that, or I shouldn't think about even doing that. Okay. But anyway, so one man said this. He noted that when God asked Abraham, "Where is thy wife, Sarah?" he was not ignorant where Sarah was, but that he asked the question that by Abraham's answer, behold, in the tent, he might teach women where they ought to be, namely in the house, and not so much in the house as in the affairs of the house, making ready provision to entertain God as Sarah was. Now, I want you to think about that, ladies, moms. I want you to think about that. A foolish woman will not prepare her house for the Lord to have a comfortable place there. Is your home, ladies, is your home a comfortable place for God's presence? Is it? Think about that. That's a good question to ask. It's a good thing to ponder. Is your home a comfortable place for God to dwell in? Right? Would he be comfortable sitting at your table, involved in your daily conversation, as if he was sitting right there? But God is there if you are saved. But if you expect his blessings on your home, then you will make the home a place God will want to place his comfortable presence. Does that make sense to you? So it ought to be that your home is a sacred place. It is a holy place. If it is not, it ought to be. It ought to be a sacred place, a place of sanctification, of separation from the world. It ought to be a place of refuge. Children ought to love to be in their home. They ought to love to be with their family. They ought to love to be around their home. And you ought to love to do what God has called you to do. Matthew chapter 25 talks about preparation. Matthew chapter 25 talks about some foolish women that were not prepared. Matthew 25, verse number 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now, this is speaking of that oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. That's what that picture is. 5 of them were wise. They had the Holy Spirit. 5 of them were not. They did not have him. Do you understand? Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. You see that all through the Bible. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we're not delving into that parable, but that's just one thing that I want you to focus on is the fact that 5 of them were prepared for the Lord. 5 of them made themselves ready for the Lord. Is your home made ready for the Lord? Is your home made ready? Is it a comfortable place for the Lord to be? Is it a place of sanctification, separation, holiness? Is it a place with the right spirit? Mom, you set the spirit for the home. You really do. In all that you do, your actions, your behavior, your spirit, it sets the tempo. It sets the spirit for the home. It is exactly your spirit, your attitude, and the way you deal with things is how your children will deal with them for the most part. It's how they will be affected by your actions and everything. So understand that. This foolish woman, she plucks it down with her hands, either by her idleness and not using her hands, or by her foolishness and sinful courses. You know, we're going to get into that. I'm going to save that idleness. We're going to talk about that a little bit. The Bible says that she is clamorous, though. Let's start there. Back in Proverbs chapter 6, or Proverbs chapter, sorry, that wasn't 6, what was that? 9, excuse me. Says that she is clamorous. What does that word mean? It means speaking and repeating loud words. Noisy, loud, turbulent. This woman, this foolish woman, is loud. Always talking. Very loud. Must be heard. Noisy. Turbulent. It's the opposite of the woman with a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. But very loud. Right? They must be heard. Their opinion must be heard, or you will feel their wrath. Right? Now, once you think about that, that is a trait of a foolish woman. It is one, ladies, that you will constantly have to walk in the spirit and deny the flesh to get the victory over. Because in many cases, as a wife and as a mother, it is a life of self-sacrifice, and you will be defrauded more than your husband because of his failures. But because of that, you must keep the right spirit. Because what you don't say is more powerful many times than what you do say. Amen. Remember that. What you don't say is more powerful. Okay, she is simple in knowing nothing. What does that mean? Vain, empty. Are those that make the most noise. She that is full of clamor has generally little or no sense. Says, I think that's Trapp that said that. Sounds like him. Vain, empty women. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. That's not just for the man, that's for the woman. Full of clamor. Simple in the worst sense, as open to all forms of evil. Just open-minded in that case. But knoweth nothing. Ignorant with the ignorance which is willful and reckless ignorance. If you're not careful as a lady, a foolish lady, you will be reckless. I'm telling you, I've met women like this. I've dealt with them in the ministry. I've dealt with that they are reckless, they do not care who they hurt, right? Ignorant. They know no shamefacedness. They have no shamefacedness. No sobriety, but simple. They have really what I would say a whore's forehead, which means that they cannot be ashamed of their actions and what they do. Or how they treat others. It's a woman of follies, extremely foolish and simple, and most grossly ignorant. Knows nothing that is good, that is spiritually good, knows not God aright, is without the fear and love of Him and faith in Him, nor knows Christ and the way of righteousness and life by Him, nor the Spirit of God and the operations of His grace upon the heart. She is clamorous. Folly is full of words and of a lavish tongue. She is extremely talkative. Ladies should not be known by their talkativeness, but by their quietness. Men will talk. Women will talk too. But this point, in this sense, what it means is that too much talk. Sometimes we say too much, and then our ignorance shows. Amen? It is better to be quiet. If you talked half as much as, or if you prayed half as much as you talked, you would see the changes that you desire. Amen. Folly is full of words, and usually lay on more words than the matter will bear, said one. Means that there's no reason to go any further, but they continue to talk. A great deal of small talk you shall have usually come from them. The Bible says a fool also is full of words. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. A fool also is full of words. Verse number 14. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? Full of words. You ought to, as a lady, you ought to weigh your words very carefully. You ought to weigh them very carefully. Because you are judged by those words. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. They are loud. They cannot stop talking. It's the opposite of Titus chapter 2, if you'll turn there. Titus chapter 2. We deal with the aged woman and what she's to teach and who she's to be. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober. A sober woman will not be too talkative. Right? She'll not be too talkative. And I know when people hear this, the first thing some people will say is, oh, you're trying to oppress women. About as much as God did. And not enough like God. Amen. This is just scripture. Amen. That's all it is. But what does it do? It puts into perspective. The aged women likewise, they be in behaviors, become with holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober. Young women have a problem being sober-minded. Like young men have a problem being sober-minded. When to be serious, when not to be, right? They learn that discernment as they go. To love their husbands, to love their children. You're teaching them that. To be discreet. Here's the opposite of being loud. To be discreet. You know, question, ask yourself this, am I discreet? As a lady, am I discreet? Or does everybody know when I'm not happy? Good question. Good question. Chaste. Chaste conversation, the Bible says. Let's look at that. Let's look up some of these words. We've got opportunity here. We'll look up some of these. Chaste. This word is used three times in the King James Bible. Interesting. Pure from all unlawful commerce of sexes applied to persons before marriage. It signifies pure from all, undefiled, applied, free from obscenity. In language, pure, genuine, uncorrupt, free from barbarous words and phrases, and from quaint, affected, and vagrant expressions. So her conversation is chaste, right? Her conversation is chaste, which is important. Amen? Very important. Pure conversation. Pure conversation. Amen? Very important. Let's see. To be discreet. Let's look at that word. We'll look up that word here. That's also used three times. How about that? It sometimes is written discreet, the distinction between discreet and arbitrary, but perhaps not entirely. Okay, prudent, wise in avoiding errors of evil. Wise in avoiding errors of evil. Circumspect, cautious, not rash. So, you're very cautious with your speech instead of loud and clamorous. Very cautious. Very careful. Very circumspect. This is what God expects from us. And from ladies especially. For them to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Amen. Which is the opposite of the foolish woman who is not good and obedient to her own husband. Right? The Bible says, when you as a lady are not these things, or are not working on these things, then you are blaspheming God. This takes the denial of the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. Right? Because there's going to be times, ladies, when your husband is not doing what he should do or what you don't think, or he's not doing what you think he should be doing, and you want to wage an all-out war. Right? And you become very discontent in your heart. And you want to become very loud. And you want to deal with that. You want to correct him and you want to deal with that. But it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. Not what God wants from you. The foolish woman is without discretion. Proverbs 11:22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Boy, that's pretty descriptive, isn't it? Right? Swine's snout. Amen. That discretion is used 9 times. It's being prudent, having knowledge, discernment, which enables. Ladies, what am I saying to you? What I'm saying to you is that prudence will teach you, not my daughter, but prudence here, because she yells at me all the time. So, because she's only 7 months old, 8 months. But what prudence teaches you is discernment for you to judge critically what is correct and proper. When it is proper and when it is correct for you to do something, for you to handle an issue, when it is correct and proper, not when you want it. Not when you want to do it. There may be times when it is best for you to zip your lip and say nothing. Right? You ever been in that position, lady? You ever been in that position where you want to say something so bad? And sometimes you do say it and you get yourself in trouble. Right? Or you inflame the situation and make it worse. You ever done that? You ever said something, made a situation that was that big turn into something that big by not being discreet, using judgment and waiting for the right opportunity? You ever done that? Dave just walked in. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I'm picking on women tonight, Dave, so it's not you. But it all applies. It all applies. We're to be prudent as well. Amen. In the place that God has us, we're to be wise and circumspect. Amen. We are to be as well. Proverbs chapter 9, if we're over there and we are dealing with the foolish woman in the book of Proverbs. So, discretion. Use discretion. The foolish woman doesn't use discretion. And it brings a lot of trouble. A lot of heartache. You know, the foolish woman, she cannot teach it. She can't be that aged woman that teaches it because she's not lived it. As the foolish woman, she sits on a seat in the high places of the city. Wants to be noticed. Kind of like Revelation 17. Ladies, by the grace of God, you have to live your lives as if you have no desire to be noticed by this world. Because God didn't make you to be noticed by this world. He made you to be noticed by your husband. And husbands, if you're not, you ought to start noticing them. Noticing their value and their worth. Amen. Because if you don't, you promote a spirit where they look for it somewhere else. Where they do not become satisfied with that, because I don't mean in any irregular way or any irreverent way. What I'm saying is that they look for that approval from you, and if they don't get it from you, where are they supposed to get it from? Now, the answer is from the Lord. Because when your husband doesn't do right, you still obey the Lord. You have no right to disobey God. And God will hold you accountable if you do, in any way. Amen. However, Proverbs 9 says that, Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 14, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. She's got to be noticed. With impudence, wanton, alluring, corrupting, and ruining everlasting her victims. We've met some like that. Right? Contentious, brawling women. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1. Turn there, please. These are very practical. They're not meant to be complex. The simplest things are the ones that you have to understand. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The wise woman builds. How does she do that? By her good housewife, wifery, prudent economy, right? She's prudent in her spending habits, looking for ways to save money, looking for ways to do things economically in the right way, looking well to the ways of her household. You know, the Bible says that they eat not the bread of idleness, right? Don't think, if you're not married, don't think that getting married is a place where you can just kind of not do anything. It's the most work you're ever going to do in your entire life. It's harder than having 10 careers. You better believe it is. Right? It is. But God has uniquely equipped you to do it. Do you understand that? God has uniquely equipped you to be able to do that. All right. She looks well to the ways of her household, guiding the affairs of her house with discretion, keeping all things in a good decorum, and bringing up her children in virtue, and in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Amen. By her prudent and industrious management, she increases property of the family, furniture in the house, and food and raiment for her household. This is the true building of a house. The thriftless wife acts differently, and the opposite is the result. A wise woman will improve her taste and manners. This no way involves her becoming proud. But wise women, who are quietly and solidly building the house night and day, they make no demonstration. The last characteristic that could be supposed to attach to them would be that of ostentation. They measure the whole day. They number its hours. They apportion its worth. Every effort they make is an effort which has been reasoned out before it has begun. Every word is looked at before it is uttered. Every company is estimated before it is entrusted with confidence. Lady, that means you're careful who you talk to. You're very careful who you confide in, who you talk to. Amen. Every company is estimated before it is entrusted with confidence. In this way, the wise woman consolidates her house. They don't need a loudspeaker or social media or a camera on them to show people what they do. You don't need a YouTube channel to show everything you do in your home. Follow it around everywhere you go and whatever you do. Right? Amen. That's the difference in the spirit. One is a meek and quiet spirit that doesn't need the world and everybody else to notice when they do right and they serve God. That's the difference. Prove me wrong. You don't need to make videos exactly about how humble you are, about every little thing in your home, because the home is to be a sacred place. Not just in word, but in actuality. That's right, actuality. Good job. Good. Man, that kid's smart. Scary. You are in a lot of trouble. Flashbacks, Aaron, flashbacks. They are humble, submissive, quiet, and they manage their homes without everybody else knowing what they're doing. A wise woman will aim to improve her mind. Ladies, this is very important. How much do you read? How much do you read? How much do you take in? I'm talking about not just Bible. Bible's important, number one, and should be a lot of it. But how much of other things do you read? Do you cultivate your mind? Do you continue to grow your mind? Amen. This is important. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't have a lazy mind when it comes to that. Use your mind. Grow. Grow. Read. Increase your learning and knowledge of the Word of God and of other things, so you can teach your children and help others. Don't be lazy in the mind like that. Don't have a lazy mind like that. Don't do that. Amen. I see that a lot. That I think there's a lot of that where people don't want to learn anymore. They don't want to study. They don't want to read. We're becoming a nation of people that don't read. It's sad. Entertainment has replaced reading. And people don't read anymore. That's why we're a bunch of dum-dums. We got a nation full of idiots, and I'm not kidding. It's because we don't read. We don't read anything and learn anything anymore. We believe some stupid meme on Facebook before reading and studying and learning and cultivating your mind. Why do you think, hey, look, I can go in that office and take you in there right now and show you books by people, kids and women, by the way, that are in that library that wrote books that were very intelligent ladies and knew a lot and understood a lot about things because they read. They didn't just veg out and let their minds go to mush. I'm serious. Quit being lazy. Pick up that Bible and read, and pick up other things. Read about your health, about your food, about everything. That's what women used to do. They used to read what they were eating, what they were putting in their bodies, you can't get people to read an article now. For their own health, you can't get them to read it anymore. Right, it's lazy. It's a lazy mind. Amen. Get mad, get right, get something. Feeling feisty tonight, brother. Well, I just it's amazing. It's like half the stuff that we that you ladies face, if you just read about it, you wouldn't step into that trap. I'm talking about I'm not talking about just spiritual. I'm talking about other things. Your husband, he's not going to have time to read about all those things all the time. You got some extra time. You better start studying. You better start reading up. Amen. About health, about all kinds of stuff. Amen. It's good. It's good to do that. All right? Think about that. That's not just for you ladies. That's for the men too. But I'm just simply saying, I think sometimes ladies feel like they get a pass in a church. And I don't want you thinking a church like this, you're going to get a pass, you know, because your husband's a leader. Well, I'm glad your husband's a leader. But you got to be a good follower. And you know what? You got to help him. There's things that he can't read. He's not going to. You need to be up on those things. Say, hey, I read this. What do you think about this? Right? Amen. Man, I'm telling you, I'm on it right now. I can't get off it. I want to keep going with this. Here's another thing. This age of instant fast food garbage, right? Instead of women that used to actually take out a cookbook and actually cook and put things together from scratch, right? And put it all together and make it from scratch with real ingredients that you could actually read. That was actually real food. Right? So you don't have to worry about what some guy down the road did to your food or whatever when he packaged it, what Chef Boyardee did to it. Right? You can't even read the label. Well, start making it. Make it yourself. If there's a bunch of bad bread out there, make your own bread. Amen. What's wrong with that? Women used to do that all the time. Teach your daughters to do that. You say, well, it's only a dollar for bread. Yeah, well, I don't know if you want to eat that bread. But listen, why not? Why not? Why not? You know what? You stick women all day to cook because they cook good food all day long. Amen. Right? They put it all together. They just didn't have it prepackaged, right? And I know you ladies do that. I know you do. But it's just an admonition that we need to make sure we understand that. That's the way that it should be. We shouldn't be living out of a box like that and expecting people to make this stuff for. We don't need people to make that stuff for. You can buy those ingredients to make it yourself. And then you know what's in it. Yeah, it is less money, too. If you do it right, anyway, if you use real food. Anyway, so it's just something to think about. It's one of those things that it's cultivating your mind. It's reading. It's growing. A mother and a wife should always be growing your mind, always growing your mind, your spiritual walk, your mental state, all of that. You should be industrious. You should be moving. You should be doing stuff all the time, mentally, physically, all of it. Amen. Spiritually, all of it. It's important. For us not to be lazy. See, but I work hard. I believe you. I know you all do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we can be lazy in certain areas of our lives. Not as a character trait as a whole, but in certain areas. You ever done that? You ever did an examination of your life? And said, you know what? I'm kind of lazy in that area. I'm kind of less slack in that area. The Bible says that we can be slack sometimes. And it's certain areas that we become slack in. Amen? And we got to sharpen up on it. Right? Amen. Just think about that. A wise woman will aim to improve her mind. The mind is enlarged by receiving ideas and by using them as materials as of thought and reasoning. A wise woman will endeavor to enlighten and improve her conscience. This is the faculty of the soul by which we weigh the morality of every action. A foolish woman will not read and will not grow and will not sharpen her conscience, but will have a lazy and dull mind that needs entertained and amused. Yeah, you can't imagine how many people said that, man, told my dad, oh, I can't believe you're going on vacation with your grandkids. What do you want to do that for? What's the matter with you? That doesn't sound like vacation to me. Hey, we had a blast. We had a lot of fun. But you know what they didn't do? Sit and look at a computer screen all day long and play with an iPhone all day long. They didn't do that. No, you can read something. I don't mind letting them do that once in a while, but you read. You entertain yourself. You talk. So then my son, my daughter, and all, they did trivia questions like all the way down the road. I learned about everything. Things I don't want to know. I know now. Things I can't get out of there. Oh, well, it was good. It was good. Right? But that's what you want them to do. They're using their mind. And you as a mother, you teach them to do that as well. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God's word gives us light. It builds our conscience and our minds and our hearts. To improve the conscience, we must give it light and let it guide us. Well, enlightened by the word of God, it guides to happiness and to heaven. Amen. A wise woman buildeth her house. To build her house is to promote the best good of her husband and her offspring. Lady, you don't build your house by making a name for you. You build your house by making a name for your husband. Do you understand that? I'm going to say that again. Lady, you do not build your house by making a name for you. You build your house by making a name for your husband. And I know when this goes online, the feminist fangs, that's right, feminist, that's right. The feminist fangs will come out. The daggers will come out. He defies them. Look at him. Amen. He's going to be the next generation right there. Amen. I like that. Keep that. You're going to need it. You're going to need that fight, kid. Keep it. Amen. You're going to need that laugh, too. Trust me. A wise woman buildeth her house, right? How will such a woman affect their estate? Her wisdom will save more than her hands could earn. Her wisdom, I want to say that again to you. Her wisdom will save more than her hands can earn. That is value. Value. She will render her family respectable. She will render her family happy. She will so manage as not to irritate their passions, not to provoke them to anger, not to provoke her children, and not to provoke her husband to anger. I'm telling you, I think the most self-denied position, place in the home has got to be the mother and the wife. I believe that. Now, all of us should be, and all of us have to be. But I believe a wife is the most self-sacrificing place. I absolutely do believe that. Because they do. They literally bow to the will of their husbands. And their husbands are imperfect men that make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Amen. One man says it this way, her example will breathe through the house a mild and soft atmosphere. There is no resisting the combined influence of so many virtues. What she cannot do by her precepts and examples, she affects by her prayers. Let me ask you, ladies, how prayest thou? How do you pray? How often do you pray? How fervently do you pray? How broken are you before the Lord in prayer? How much have you prayed versus how much you have complained? How prayest thou? When is your heart broken in prayer for your family, for your children to be saved? When do you take the time to be holy? When do you take the time to pray and to cry out to God? When? When is it? When are your have you shed a tear for your children in prayer? Have you? Have you taken the time to shed a tear for your husband in prayer? Good question. Your prayers will hold more weight than your words. But how often do you pray? Are you a praying wife, a praying mother? Good question. See, a lot of times it's not taking the time to pray. It's not taking the time to. Do you take the time to pray, fervently pray for your family? It's very important. Very important. Her influence surely extends beyond her own family. If it's right, if it's good, if it's bad, it will too, unfortunately. But praying is so vitally important to Christian growth for your family, to the growth of your family. Do you have, let me ask you, and you don't answer me, just think about this. Ladies, are there concerns that a mother has? Are there concerns that you have and a wife have? Are there concerns that you have? Have you taken them to the Lord in prayer? Have you prayed often about them? Have you set aside the time to pray? See, that is the part of your spiritual life that no one else sees. And it is the true test of how close you walk with God. I'm going to say that again to you. Your prayer life is the true test of how close you are to God. I did not say that if you don't pray enough, you're not saved. No. I said your prayer life is the true test of your walk with God. It shows your relationship with Him. You cannot have a relationship with someone without communication. Let me rephrase that. You cannot have a good relationship with somebody without communication, without proper communication. If I walked into my home every day and I didn't talk to my wife or my kids, and I went to bed and I woke up and I left and I didn't talk to my wife and kids, and I came to church on Sunday and I just preached and I walked away from all of you and I didn't talk to you and I walked out the door, how good of a relationship would any of us have? Well, how good of a relationship with the Lord are you going to have if you don't pray? Only a foolish woman would refuse to pray. Don't be a fool. You need prayer more than you realize. Next, her answer, Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's for a male and a female, by the way, but as we're talking about the foolish woman, she gives a grievous word, and it stirs up anger. It incites her husband or her children and makes them angry. Makes them want to fight or get mad or argue. Right? You ever done that? You ever used some grievous words that stirred up anger? A couple times. Only a couple. A day. Right. Probably a couple thousand. Right? Except Ryan. I'm just kidding. Ryan keeps looking at me, making me laugh. Ryan, you got a good spirit, brother. But a soft answer turneth away wrath. If you use a soft answer, it's hard to get mad. Man, sometimes my wife can use the simplest words. Very soft. Almost rather get yelled at. Might make me feel better. Right? Might make Aaron stay awake if I yelled. Maybe not. Yeah, because then you can yell back and then you feel better like that, see? Amen. Anyway, but you can, a soft answer, you know, a woman can say a few words. Doesn't have to say anything very loudly. By the way, ladies, sometimes you just need to say them too. You know, if your husband's not doing what he should do and you know it, you can softly talk about that. And he needs to put his big boy britches on. And he needs to take it. He needs to gird up his loins like a man and take it. Amen. That's right. Ladies, sometimes you don't want to have those conversations. I've had many of those in my marriage because I needed them. You need them too. And wives, you can't be afraid to have those conversations. You need to have them. You need to just sit down and tell them, we need to talk about this. Amen? They're not fun. But they're necessary. But they're necessary. They're important. Have them. Have them. Don't hide them. Don't hide those in your heart. Have those. Have those. Amen? They only hurt for a few seconds. And then you can deal with everything. You know? Right? You can deal with that. But if you don't, it festers. And then it blows. Bad. Doesn't have to do that. And you don't have to suffer yourself to be defrauded forever either. You can have that conversation in whatever way you need to. Amen? You have it. It's important, but do it softly. If you can't do it softly, don't do it until you can. But also don't wait until you blow up either. That's not a good idea. Don't wait till the top blows off, right? But do it with the right spirit. Amen? We as Christians ought to love one another enough. There's nothing we can't get through. Amen? Nothing. If we deny our flesh. If. Right? Okay. The foolish woman does not know that she has plucked down her home. She thinks she is building it up by unwise energy, by self-assertion, by thoughtless speeches, by words flung like firebrands. She is doing unutterable mischief, not only to herself, but to her husband and family. Amen. There's a lot of power. There's great power that God gives a lady. They have power to build up a house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. They also have power to pluck it down with their hands. You have to choose which you will do. If you choose to do nothing, then you are pulling it down. Amen. There are women who, by their miserable tempers and degrading habits, ruin their husbands and children. We've seen that. Listen to this testimony. A plain marble stone in a churchyard bears this brief inscription: "She always made home happy." This epitaph was penned by a bereaved husband after 60 years of wedded life. He might have said of his departed wife, "She was beautiful and accomplished, an ornament to society," and yet not have said, "She made home happy." Alas, he might have added, "She was a Christian," and not have been able to say, "She always made home happy." What a rare combination of virtues and graces this wife and mother must have possessed. How wisely she must have ordered her house. In what patience she must have possessed her soul. How self-denying she must have been. How tender and loving. How thoughtful for the comfort of all about her. She made her home happy. Think about that. That should be said. Amen? That should be said about every wife here. She made her home a happy place. I hope that's your desire. Amen? But the foolish woman plucks it down by her idleness and laziness. Think about that. I have seen idleness. The Bible warns about idleness. Okay? It gives a warning about with all they learn to be idle. Idleness is the devil's playground. If you are idle, you are going to get into trouble. Amen. If you are idle, you will get into trouble. That's why you must be busy. That's right. Industrious, moving, doing something, keeping busy in your home, doing what God wants you to do, right? Training and teaching your children is a constant thing. It is constant. I've known women to get carried away with everyone else's life but the one God has given them. They care about what somebody else is doing somewhere else and not about what they're supposed to be doing right where they're at. She plucks it down by her idleness and laziness, by her lavish and profuse way of living, by her negligence and want of being frugal, by her frequent social media attention and busybody into other men's affairs. Amen. I've seen women do that, be a busybody in other men's affairs, worried about what somebody else is doing somewhere else. It's like these ladies that get online and get all mad at me. It's like, don't you have anything better to do than worry about some preacher in Northfield, Minnesota? You know? You're worried about Northfield, Minnesota. Some preacher over in Northfield, Minnesota. Think about that. How crazy is that? It's crazy. But they get carried away with somebody else's life. They pay attention to other things, other diversions. And so her family and the affairs of it go to wreck and ruin. They're not, I guarantee you, most of those women that do that, they got enough to deal with in their own home, but they're not paying attention to it because they're too busy worried about something else, somewhere else. Right? Think about that. A good wife is a great blessing to a family. A fruitful wife of a family is then multiplied and replenished with children and so built up. But by a prudent wife, one that is pious, industrious, and considerate, the affairs of the family are made to prosper. Provisions are made, the children well educated and maintained, and the family has comfort within the doors and credit without. Thus the house is built. She looks upon it as her own to take care of. I want to ask that, ladies, do you look at that? When you look at your home, do you look at it? That's your own. That's the sphere that God has given you. I've got a sermon that I've had in the hopper for a while. It's called When a Queen Loses Her Crown. I'm threatening to preach it sometime. I just don't know when yet. Sometime. You're going to love it. I guarantee it. Amen. He's like, I'm two. I don't care. She looks upon it as her own to take care of. That's how you should look at the house. Your house, your home, your children, though she knows it is her husband's to bear rule in. The home is the place where the husband bears rule. Does that hit any feminist nerves tonight when I say that? Bear rule? Don't worry, ladies. You're not the only one that gets upset about that. When the Bible talks about the bishop, right? Or how shall he rule the house of God? Whoa! That'll make him mad. It's just the rebellion of the age. That's what it is. And for a man to say a man bears rule in his own home, just like Esther, just like in Esther, is that the king sent out the, that's part of the sermon. I'm giving you a little hint. But that's part of that sermon when a queen loses her crown, right? And he talks about that, that a man should bear rule in his own home. Well, that sounds terrible. Not really. It sounds biblical. Sounds kind of manly. Right? Like it makes you want to eat a stack of pancakes and throw some hay around or something, right? Right? Or slit the throat of that deer. Right? Right, Lee? Sounds like that's what manhood is about there, is bearing rule. Well, that's hated today. If you're a lady and you don't like that, you better get right with God. Your problem is God. Your problem is with the Lord. Your problem isn't with me. Your problem's with God. You don't like the way God instituted everything. You might like modernism better. Right? Think about that. Many a family is brought to ruin by ill housewifery, said one, as well as by ill husbandry. I agree. A foolish woman that has no fear of God nor regard to her business, that is willful and wasteful and humorsome, that indulges her ease and appetite and is all for jaunting and feasting, though she come to plentiful estate and to a family beforehand, she will impoverish and waste it and will as certainly be the ruin of her house as if she plucked it down with her hands. And the husband himself, with all his care, can scarcely prevent it. You know, if you two are working against each other, it's never going to work. I've seen marriages where people are working against each other. It don't work. The wife can do all she wants to. The husband can do all. It's not going to work. Except both of you. Both of you. Listen, the life of a housewife is not one of laziness. If you think, well, I'll marry so a man can take care of me and I don't have to work in the world, that's a selfish thing to say and think. And you may be a fine decorated ornament, but a good wife you would not be. How about this way? I will marry so I can care for a husband and be the helpmeet he needs so he can be the best man God wants him to be and not concern himself with the affairs that God has equipped me to perform for him. See the difference? One is a servant's mentality, like Sarah had calling her husband Lord. Think about that. Is our society, has it influenced the churches so much that God's people would wince at the truth of Scripture? By the way, yes, it has. And that's why this ministry gets a bullseye on it. And I get a bullseye on my back or by my fifth rib when I preach on these things, because it makes people mad because they don't talk about it anymore. But we are losing our families today. Why don't you, I dare you, any of you people that hold to that out there that listen to this, and anybody that you know that doesn't like this, and maybe some of you if you don't like it, listen to me. Let me tell you something. I dare you, I defy you, you go out there and do a poll. Look at the polling data that I look at, and see the homes where mom is not the mom and dad is not the dad, and let's look at how those homes turn out. Let's watch and see how they do. I know how they do. Because I see the effects of them after they're all done ruining their families. And half of them are not in church today. And they don't want nothing to do with it. Why? Because the roles weren't taught. And they have to be now more than ever. Why? Because, man, in a few years, you ain't going to know what a boy is or a girl is out there. Unless you raise him in your own church. You think I'm kidding? I ain't. I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious, man. You're going to be looking at them and be like, I don't know if that's a boy or a girl, what that is. I don't know. And they ain't even going to know. They don't know. They don't know. Look, there's a guy out there right now trying to get the federal government to change his age from 69 to 49 because he wants to be younger and help him get more women on Tinder, whatever that is. He legally wants his age changed. Welcome to insanity. Now you see why it's important for our children to be raised in solid truth. And that we follow the word of God. That we show a man is a man, a woman is a woman, a man takes care of a woman takes care of the home. That's why. Because this may be the only example they get. Do you understand that? If you would have done a poll 30 years ago, there ain't a preacher alive 30 years ago that would have thought we'd gotten this far. Now. That this country would have slipped. That we'd even be talking about some guy changing his age. Transgenders marrying each other and having babies pretending to be the opposite. And being pastors. Christian atheists now. Christian witches now. Christian pornography now. Yeah, I'm going to do a radio show on that coming up here next week. Yeah. Yep, all that. Everything I said, they have it out there. And more. So you wonder why. Now, Pastor, why do you have to do these plain old things here? Because they're so important. And the world's going to hate us for it. And Christians are going to hate us for it. But if we don't stick to the truth and live it and be the example that they need, they're not going to have one. Don't you dare depend on somebody else being an example for them. I'm not going to. That's why I'm going to be doing more. It's time to do more. It's time to ramp it up. We got a lot of work to do. The house, properly so called, the interior of the building is under her special care. I'm almost done here. It is her temple of service. She is its priestess in a figurative sense. So every woman responsible for the order, the cleanliness, the comfort of the house of which she is the social priestess. Just like in when they had priests take care of the things in the temple. Her oversight and her presence, if not her actual labor, are indispensable to the proper arrangement of everything in it. Do you look at your house? Do you look at your home? And do you look at that as your ministry? Are you weary of your ministry? Are you weary of the calling God has given you? Are you being weary in well-doing? Are you wearied for what God has for you to do? Is it not enough for you? Is there something else you could be doing that would please God? The affairs of her business, of the house, is her special care. It is for her to preside over the domestic economy of the house. All transactions of this nature seem naturally to fall within her jurisdiction. And it looks odd and out of place to see them in other people's hands. She is especially related to the life of the house. If she is a mother, she above all others has the charge of the children. Her opportunities for influencing them are greater than those possessed by the father. This is a woman that builds her house. Her life is always before them. This is not the foolish woman who tears it down. Her words are treasured up and repeated by them. If she is the mistress, the servants are under her special jurisdiction and guidance. That's why the Bible says, a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. take heed that you do not pluck down that which God has given you power to build up. It's quite possible for you to do it if you teach them wrong by your example. If you are given to entertainment, if you're given over to the internet and social media or other things, besides diligent hard work and organization of the home, you teach them the order of importance is pleasing the flesh and not the spirit. If you put much foolishness before them, they will become fools. If you teach them the Bible and devotion and prayer comes last, then you teach them the order of worship is last on the list. Mothers should teach their children to pray. But how can you teach them to pray if you don't pray yourself? Have your children seen you pray? Do they know you pray? The father is not always home. Much of that early family devotions and prayers should be done by the mother. The wise woman is a social architect. She builds her house. She has plans in relation to each department of it. She knows what she purposes to do before she begins to do anything. Building implies personal exertion on the part of the architect. All his work is not done when he has drawn the plan and issued his orders. He must see that they are executed. This is one thing that I see. There are some principles with children that I want to talk about because it's the principles of our own lives, but I'm not going to do that today. But there are some. One of those is consistency. I believe one of the greatest failures that we have in our home is consistency. One of the greatest failures of our walk with God is consistency. One of the principles that we lack the most, consistency. Would you say in your life that would be true or false? Would it be consistency would be something that you struggle with? You may set out to do something, but you're not consistent with it. Kids need consistency. Children need that. And so do you, by the way. You cannot just execute a plan, draw out a plan, execute it. He must, if needful, show how they are to be carried out. In times of emergency, the general of an army must, like Napoleon at the Bridge of Lodi, engage himself in a hand-to-hand fight with the enemy. So will a wise woman. She does not always say, go, but sometimes come. She does not say that is the way when this is the way is necessary. She never contents herself with saying, do this, without assuring herself that it is done. One of the things that I've seen is that women can do that. Well, you know, I told them to do it, but they didn't do it. Well, no. No, you didn't do it. Right? What do I mean by that? Well, because you're in charge. And if they didn't do it, that's your fault. Right? Because you need to enforce it. You have to follow through with it and make sure that it gets done right. That involves a lot of work. Right? That involves consistency and follow through. Ephesians 6 applies to the wife as well. You need the armor of God to do the work that God's called you to do. Building implies a union of diverse materials to form a complete whole. Many and diverse materials are brought together to build a house. It would be impossible to erect a building of usefulness and beauty of one material alone. So a wise woman brings together many different things and blends them into due proportion in order to make the home life true and beautiful and good. Her wisdom is shown in developing the abilities and capacities of each member of the household so that each may contribute to the strength and comfort of the whole. It is mom's duty to look at that child and say, well, I believe that they excel in this area and they can deal with this and this one can deal with this. It's managing the affairs of the house and knowing what she is dealing with. That is what a wise woman does. A foolish woman will ignore that. An unwise woman who is at the head of a house caricatures her position by her conduct. Her position implies that she is a builder-up. Her conduct has the effect of pulling down. A clown upon a kingly throne is not more out of place than a foolish woman who bears the name of a wife and a mother. The reins are in her hands, but she does not know how to guide the chariot. The materials are in her possession, but she has no skill to use them. She is not only no center of unity, she is a source of discord. She not only cannot build the house herself, but she makes it impossible for anybody else to do anything towards it. She is not only no crown to her husband, but she is rottenness to his bones. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A good wife is heaven's last best gift to a man, his angel of mercy, minister of graces, innumerable his gem of many virtues, his casket of jewels, her voice, his sweetest music, her smiles, his brightest day, her kiss, the guardian of his innocence, her arms, the pale of his safety, the balm of his health, the balsam of his life, her industry, his surest wealth, her economy, his safest steward, her lips, his faithful counselors, her bosom, the softest pillow of his cares, and her prayers, the ablest advocates of heaven's blessings on his head. That sounds like quite a big position to hold. The Welsh had something to say about this. They said, a good wife is modest, void of deceit, and obedient, pure of conscience, gracious of tongue, and true to her husband, her heart not proud, her manners affable, and her bosom full of compassion for the poor, laboring to be tidy, skillful of hand, and fond of praying to God, her conversation amiable, her dress decent, and her house orderly, quick of hand, quick of eye, and quick of understanding, her face, her head intelligent and provident, neighborly, gentle, and of a liberal way of thinking, able in directing, providing what is wanting, and a good mother to her children, loving her husband, loving peace, and God. Wisdom in woman, in woman has built her house, beginning a long time ago. But folly in women is an affair of the present. If it had been at work long, it would have had no house to pull down. As entering upon the work of the wise, ungodly mothers tear down the house which generations of the righteous have been slowly building. The grand comment, however, is that this womanly wisdom or wise woman, like the woman of grace or woman of folly, has an allegoric meaning. Women do much toward building up, but the text means more than wisdom personified. They are a builder of a house, and folly, as impenitence, are all that can pull it down. More could be said about that. I'll finish with this. The foolish, literally folly, but feminine in form. Feminine folly plucketh. The sentiment is that in building up a family, the woman, the wife, and the mother has possibly more to do than the man. Great men have generally been more indebted to their mothers than to their fathers, and the greatness of certain families is traced chiefly to maternal wisdom and virtues. But of the foolish woman, just the reverse may be said. She needs no help to pull down her house. Her negligence, ill management, extravagance, lack of capacity for family government, or other failings or vices do the deed. She destroys her own family for an example of the wise woman. See Proverbs 31:10. A fortune in a wife is better than a fortune with a wife. Think about that. Let me ask you, ladies, foolish or wise? Which one? Foolish or wise? Are you building your home Are you tearing it down? Are you full of murmuring and complaining? Are you thankful to God? Are you working the ministry that God has given you? Have you put on strength? Have you put on the armor of God? Have you seen these as spiritual battles and spiritual warfare that you must fight every day? Did you know you need the armor to get up and do your duty? Your husband, he goes out into the world. He faces many things in the world that you do not face. But your challenges are no less than his. They are probably more, because your duties are to cultivate the hearts and souls of the children that God has given you. And to do it in simplicity, in faith, in truth, and in love. That means that your heart must be broken when you see them sin, when you see them in error, when you see them not right with God, when you see what you need to work on with them. You must go to God and cry out to Him and cry tears and pray to the Lord to change your children. You must pray to the Lord for your husband when God is dealing with him about something, or you see something is wrong with him. You must go to God and pray for him. But you have a duty to put on the armor of God. Do you not see how there's a need for you to take unto you the whole armor of God? Do you not see that as a mother in your place that you need the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit? Do you apply the Word of God to your everyday life with your children? Do you correct them with the Word of God? Do you build them up in their faith? Do you correct them? Do you guide them? Do you direct them? Do you put on the helmet of salvation? Do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace in your home? Did you think armoring up was only for your husband out in the world and that you wouldn't need it for the ministry that God has given you here? Are you lazy in your prayer life and don't pray to God and don't cry out to Him? That's a weapon. All prayer is one of the weapons. You cannot be complete in all of your armor without that. Do you know that you must go to God to get the strength to even put the armor on? That you need the grace of God to even put the armor on to be able to war and to fight? Are you in your Bibles? Are you praying? Are you studying? Are you learning? Are you growing? Are you applying those principles to your daily life with your children? If you're not, then I wouldn't say you're a foolish woman. I would say you're acting like one. Like Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Well, certainly he wasn't saying she was a fool. He was saying you're talking out of order like one. And I would say to you that I don't believe you're a fool, but you might be doing some foolish things. Because it's very foolish not to put on your armor before you go to war. And raising these children is spiritual warfare. Being a helpmeet to your husband is spiritual warfare. Take a good look at your husband, and you will figure out rather quickly that you need armor on. And you need to pray for him because he has many flaws. But so do you. Are his easier for you to see than yours? I think so. It's always easier to see sin in my neighbor than in myself. It's always easier to see my failures in my loved ones than in myself. It's very easy for me to see all of your flaws. Amen. Right? Yeah. It's a lot harder to see our own and accept them. Amen. So we've got to be spiritual. We've got to see this as spiritual. We've got to see that we've got to be wise. And lady, you've got to be wise. The foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. But a wise woman buildeth her house. Build it, and God will bless it. Amen? Lest the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You build it with the book. You build it with prayer. You build it with love. You build it with self-sacrifice and self-denial. Remember that. Father, Lord, thank you. We pray, Lord, you'd help us. Lord, this went long, but it was necessary, very needful for our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to be fools, but to be wise. Oh, dear God, bless these women. I thank you for each and every one of them, Lord. I love them, and I pray for them. I pray for them, Lord, every day. I cry out to God for them and their families. And, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them, Lord. Give them courage. Give them strength. Help them, Lord, as they have to deal with us husbands that are flawed and failed creatures, Lord. Help them as they deal with us, Lord. Help them to love us. Help us to love them and to care for them. Help us to be the husbands that would honor and glorify you and be kind and loving to them as you love the church and gave yourself for it. Strengthen, I pray, our families, Lord. Help us to be strong. In Jesus' holy name we pray and ask it. Amen.